2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the final hour of the KSL Greenhouse Show. I'm Maria Chalais, along with Ton Bettis, and we will be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Wanted to start the 10 o'clock hour. We're talking about lawn care, and it's getting warm. Today's going to be a nice day, Ton, and people are going to want to start doing things that maybe they shouldn't be doing. And what should we be doing right now when it comes to our lawns?
Not much. It's still just a bit early.
Planning,
yes. And so I've been seeing a lot of advertisements for lawn programs. You know, the four bags of fertilizer, sometimes some weed killer with it, and a few other odds and ends. Those are fine. But I've been seeing and getting a lot of questions about, can I put down pre-emergent? So pre-emergent is used to control crabgrass and foxtail and a number of other weedy annual grasses. And we put it down in late winter, early spring, so that it has enough time to get where it needs to on the soil surface to do its job.
Sure.
But soil temperatures need to be somewhere above 50, so around 55 degrees, because crabgrass germinates at temperatures, soil temperatures of 60 to 70. So that will give enough time. And so I snuck my wife's kitchen thermometer out.
I was going to say, I'm going to ask a dumb question. How am I going to know that?
Well, an inexpensive kitchen thermometer, you can just shove it in the soil.
Okay.
And let it sit for a minute, and it'll tell you the soil temperature.
So soil temperature is a lot different than air temperature.
Like, it is, because the soil takes a lot longer because it's more dense to heat up.
Okay.
And so when, you know, on our tip of the week, those soil temperatures of 50, the way I determine a soil temperature of 50 is an inexpensive kitchen thermometer. And I'll just put it in there, and it does the job really well. And I don't like the surface ones that you just kind of shoot, like the infrared.
Mm-hmm.
You actually want a probe toss style that goes into the soil.
So what did you find when you put yours in the
44
soil?
44 degrees at my house. Mm. I checked a couple of other areas that were in the high 40s. And it could warm up a little more if we stay in the 60s. We're not. We're going to be getting cold again, and that soil temperature will vary a little bit when we get colder temperatures. And so, especially if homeowners are buying these programs or just going to get the pre-emergent, wait. You know, it needs to be mid to late March before you put them down, even into April. Larry used to say tax days when he would, Larry Sagers, when he did his. It was always a great way to remember. You know,
so what's the harm,
taxes.
Though?
So
if you do it too early, what happens?
You run the danger of it breaking down more quickly and not doing its job when it should be.
And you're spending a lot of money, right?
You are. And so that's why you wait, because you may need to reapply pre-emergent depending on how much the weed problems in your lawn. You may need to reapply sometime in late May or June. Anyway, but it's just a little too early. People are wanting to fertilize. It's too early. Now, if the one thing I will say, I'm not trying to disparage industry, the guys out there with lawn care companies. Many of them have hundreds and hundreds of customers, and they've got to get after it to get them all taken care of. And so if you're hiring a professional service, let them do their application of pre-emergent when they can, because you may not be able to get on their schedule again when you it's time to get it down. And so you do need to be a bit flexible with our lawn care professionals in this situation.
Right. So since we are talking about lawns, people always want to do things like aerate, which aerate is good, but thatching is not.
No. Just because, like, I saw somebody dethatch their lawn and they pulled out 2 or 3 cubic yards of grass. It would have filled a truck bed very easily. And they will say, like, look what I pulled out. And, well, you're assuming that's bad. And it's just normal. And so if you have excess thatch, what you're going to do is when the lawn's actively growing is get a shovel and just jump on it and go down about 6 inches and wiggle it back and forth to open up the soil just enough so you can see your thatch layer. And the thatch layer will go from the soil surface to where you see green grass starting. And if it's less than 1/2 inch, there is no reason to dethatch. If there's, you know, over that up to 1 inch, then aeration and proper lawn care will take care of it over 1 or 2 years. But to just automatically and take a dethatcher or a thatching rake through just because you see dead grass in there isn't good to do because it damages the lawn.
Right. Is some of that actually, that dead grass in there actually good?
Yeah, it is. It breaks down in a normal situation and supplements the soil. A lawn that's been in for 10 or 15 years actually develops a very similar ecosystem to our prairie grasses in the Midwest. And they develop really healthy soils. And if you're going out there and dethatching and taking all the organic matter that would break back down into the soil, you're breaking a sustainable system. And, you know, and sometimes it's necessary. If you have 2 or 3 inches of thatch, you're going to have to do a lot to repair that lawn. And sometimes you need to. But it's the last case scenario before you're going to start over.
All right. Anything else people need to know? Big do's and don'ts right now for lawn care.
Well, the lawn will green up. It's usually late March into early April. And people that fertilized last fall and late October, their lawns usually green up first because those lawns store the nitrogen. So if you didn't, it'll take a couple more weeks. But you'd really, unless you need to do that pre-emergent application, and the only thing you would, time you need to do that is if you have crabgrass problems, the time to start fertilizing is late April into early May. And so hold off if you can.
Okay. And Caitlin has put up a fact sheet on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, so check that out if you need more information. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you, taking your questions, 801-575-8255 to call us, to text us, 57500. Ton, Mike in West Jordan has a question about lawn care. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I'm wondering what I can do. I keep getting some sudworm on my lawn, like every July, the first part of July, middle part of July, and it makes my lawn go really bad during that time.
So, do you see moths flying up in the lawn when?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so sod webworm. You can try. What have you done in the past?
Well, I've gone to Home Depot and I bought, that pesticide stuff that they tell me, that says on the package that, to use. I've tried it in the spring, and then I've tried it also when it's bad in the July, but it seems to keep coming back every year.
Okay. And let's see. And you're in West Jordan. So, right. And does it seem to help at all?
Not really. Seems my lawn right now, the lawn looks really bad on that particular area. It's on the one place where it's really bad.
Well, I'm wondering if there's something else going on besides the sod webworm, because those are usually pretty easy to knock out. Now, what I would do initially is sometime in late April to mid-May, put down the preventative that is like a Grub X or season-long lawn grub control. There's a couple, there's many different products you can use. Put that down in that area especially just to cover your bases. Then when that lawn starts actively growing, if the problem is there in June and early July, what I would recommend doing is mailing a sample up to Utah State University's pest lab and them take a look and make sure that it's sod webworm and that you don't have a disease or something in there also.
Uh-huh. Okay. I was also thinking that maybe because my lawn in that particular area looks pretty bad. I was thinking of getting make the little holes in the lawn, aerating it. Putting some Kentucky bluegrass seed on it and see if that'll bring it back.
You could try to do that. The other thing I'm worried about is there an old septic tank or anything under where it's struggling?
No.
Is the soil any different than anywhere else in your yard?
No, it should be the same as the rest of the yard.
Okay, because we would need to, if it's that one spot and it doesn't seem to spread, if they don't find anything in the soil, in the lawn sample, you may do a soil test just to make sure that in back in the day somebody didn't dump something there that's causing you some problems too.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that'll help. But for right now, anything you recommend putting
right,
on it?
For right now, maybe in, don't do any pre-emergent there, but in a, in a month or so, maybe some fertilizer, see if you can reinvigorate it, aerate it if you want to, but keep an eye on it. And if you start seeing that damage, collect some samples and let's get them up to USU.
Okay. About what, if I were to put some seed, about when would be a good time to do it?
You could do it any time between now and mid-April. It wouldn't start germinating.
Now if I had it aerated now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and if you want to do it, you can, but it's usually a little better to wait until April to aerate and put that seed down.
Yeah, because I usually cut mow my lawn real short when I'm going to get it aerated.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
You don't have to. Will go through just fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
Good. Then I'll do that then.
Okay.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
You're welcome.
Mike, thanks for your call today. Another lawn question. This person wants to know, Ton, whether they can thicken up their lawn by using the Scott's Thick'R Lawn and then also apply a pre-emergent to control spurge and crabgrass, and what would be the timing?
Well, I don't know what Scott's Thick'R Lawn is.
Yeah,
I would need to look it up, mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just a fertilizer or grass seed. If it has grass seed in it, pre-emergent will kill the grass seed.
So, yeah, don't use them both at the same time.
No, but if it's just a fertilizer, that's fine.
And would it be too early to put that particular product on
it
the lawn?
It is. I'm looking up Scott's Thick'R Lawn right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, THICK apostrophe R.
Mm.
Turf Builder, delivered right to your front door.
Interesting.
So if my internet would work. It looks like it's just a fertilizer.
Okay.
Actually, Scott's Turf Builder Thick'R Lawn Sun and Shade has everything you need to help turn your lawn from weak thin grass to thick green grass, a 3-in-1 solution.
Okay.
Thick'R
so
Lawn
fertilizing.
Contains, yeah. I'm not sure. other seed in there, so they cannot do a pre-emergent. So it's okay. Seed fertilizer, and it looks like they've got some microbe feel good stuff in there too.
And they'd still want to wait till the soil temperature was 55, though.
They do, and they can't use a pre-emergent for a calendar year where they put the thicker lawn product.
Okay, good to know. Let's go back to our phone lines. Garth is in Grantsville. Good morning, Garth.
Good morning. My question, two questions. One is on the apricot trees. I hadn't heard anything about whether we should prune them now or hold off because we're going to have another cold spell.
Well, as long as our temperatures at night stay in the 20s, you're probably okay. But the traditional time on the Wasatch Front to prune those and over in the Tooele Valley would be sometime in mid-March.
Okay, so hold off for a couple more weeks to see what happens then.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that you were watching. It's just that traditionally by mid-March, the weather, even though it's still cold, is mild enough that the danger of really hard cold coming back in is minimized. And that's why we wait till mid-March on pruning the stone fruits.
Okay. I have a question on the lawn. What about sanding your lawn to get rid of the lumps?
You can. You do a quarter inch at a time. And the problem is you don't want to get the sand on top of the lumps. And so you do a quarter of an inch, wait a month, do another quarter of an inch, and then you can slowly raise the grade. You're better off using your native soil if you can, but sand is the plan B.
Okay, so you're saying use a soil instead of sand.
If you have access to your native soil in an area that you can shovel it and just, you know, get it that quarter inch down, you're always better off using native soil that matches what you already have. Plan B, if you can't do that, is sand.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, Ton, they're wondering when they should spray their apple, pear, and peach trees. And they're wondering if there is a natural spray that they can use that is effective.
It's still a little early to spray. Mm-hmm. They need to watch for bud swell. And when those buds start to swell, but they're not open, is when you would do that delayed dormant spray. The oils you use for that, even though they're refined petroleum, they kill by smothering, and they're not a toxin in and of themselves. And so they're fine. Now, if they want to use an organic oil, they can. There's some out there. But because we're not actually putting out a poison, it's just more smothering things. They're fine to use. There are organic sprays out there, or reduced-risk sprays for other spraying. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, sprays containing, not permethrin, but pyrethroids, neem oils. There are actually quite a few options out there. You don't quite get all the pests you would with more conventional sprays, but they still do a good enough job that most of your fruit will be pest-free.
All right, next person is testing your bird knowledge. Want to know if it's okay to put out bird seed and hummingbird food?
Well, you can put out bird seed any time,
mm-hmm.
but hummingbirds usually start to come in when our plants are actively growing. It's still a bit cold from them because they migrate in from South America and Mexico and then go back home for the winter, wherever they call home.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as that, it's still too early for hummingbird stuff, but other bird seed, it's fine.
On their next question, they planted a plum tree last fall, only two branches. One is very small. May they start shaping or shortening the tall branch?
Yes. I would download or view some pruning videos, download some fact sheets, but they need to start training it now because it'll just become worse if they don't.
Next person would like to know when they should prune back their lilac trees.
After they're done blooming. We've discussed the renewal pruning a few times during the program. They will use that technique called renewal pruning. Because the lilacs bloom on one-year-old wood and those flower buds are set for the next year within a couple of weeks when the plant is done blossoming this year, as soon as they start to see those flowers die back, then they go ahead and do renewal pruning.
I love this. One of our listeners who was listening earlier about the grasshopper problem says, hey, the best way to handle it is to get a cat. Their cat solved that problem, or their neighbor's cat solved the problem for them.
Oh.
Next one, is it too early to trim tams?
It, you know, this, we're going back to the conifers, the junipers, which the Tams are a kind of juniper, need to be pruned when they shoot their new growth, and you can cut up to about 40% of that new growth off. If they wanted to do some renewal pruning right now, they could, but it's not a good time to go in and just start giving haircuts.
No haircuts. How about nine bark? Is it time to prune nine bark?
Renewal pruning is fine. If they're enjoying the nine bark, not only for the foliage, but also the flowers, they would do it right after they're done flowering.
Okay. Mike is on the line in Tremonton. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
Yeah, I want to replace some lawn with garden, and I don't know if this is a good year to do it. How would I start that? It's an irrigated spot, so it's a once a week type watering. Would I want to kill the lawn and then replace it, or till it in, or what's the best start?
Well, tilling a lawn, it's my kind of version of, if you're in rodeo, to riding a bucking bronco. You know, if you would have to have a really good tiller. So there's a few options. How large is the area?
I'm thinking probably 20 feet by 30 feet.
Okay. Is the lawn in good shape or pretty tired?
It's older lawn, but it does pretty good.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm asking, if you wanted to be a good Samaritan, you could get a sod cutter or get a sharp spade and cut the grass out so that you could give it away. And there's always people on KSL.com looking for free sod. That's one option. The other option, and that may not kill it out if you leave the roots, and so you'd have to let it grow back and then spray it out. The other option would be to get some twine or string and string out the area, and then when the lawn is actively growing, spray it out with Roundup. Give it a couple of weeks, and then do what you need to do to get the dead turf off, and then till that area to prep it for a garden.
Okay, so this may not be the best year to start a garden unless I do it later after I've killed
things. Well, I mean, you can go out if you wanted to. It's just going to be harder to kill the grass because it's still dormant. You can't spray it right now. But if you got a sod cutter and set it fairly deep, and for a couple inches, the sod would be heavier. But you could get a sod cutter and just cut that dormant turf out and still give it away. And then once you've got those crowns out of there, till it. And that would kill most everything.
All right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.